I broke my cardinal rule of shows about shows where our podcast is officially longer than the actual fucking episode we're
covering. You can cut like 9/10 of that out, dude.
I'll try to cut a chunk, but I'm going to leave like all the ums and us, and I'll just cut out the like really egregious tangents and the cursing that neither one of us is very good at not doing.
Yeah, but when I'm scrolling looking for what Tilly's role was in Key West, you could probably cut that. That was a good 45 seconds of me just scrolling on my phone.
Why is Call of Cthulhu trending? I don't get it.
Things only said in 2019.
We're gonna be hitting some H.P. Lovecraft stuff when we're on the road. So I was just curious if that was a thing. Not because either one of us has any particular interest in H.P. Lovecraft, but just it's gonna be there. Yeah, you know, might as well. Tool reveals new album title and announces their old releases are coming to streaming services. So there's a new Tool album.
Yeah.
It was better than the new Perfect Circle album that was so bad that even Fixit didn't bother with it.
I think it's like early August, I think, is when it comes out. Yeah, because Maynard is on Joe Rogan like right now, I guess, or did the the episode just dropped like 16 minutes ago where he was going to release a bunch of information about the album because Joe's a big Tool fan. So have you heard Maynard complain about Tool, dude? He fucking hates this band, dude.
Oh yeah.
He hates this band because they're also like Adam Jones is Tool, their guitarist. He's the band. And he's so obsessive about the music that he just works on the music forever. And Maynard is like, just email me the tracks and I'll put lyrics over it. Like, it takes Maynard can lyric and sing a Tool album in like a week. He just needs the tracks. And so every interviewer, they're like, hey, when's the new Tool album coming out? He's like, don't ask me, ask Adam Jones, ask the guys, when are they gonna and Dana Carey, the drummer, he's like, ask them, when are they going to get me music to sing over? And because he was like, we put out a Pussifer album in like 2 weeks and we can do it a Perfect Circle album next. He goes, but Tool, it takes years for these guys to get me anything. So he's like, as soon as something shows up in my email, I'll start working on it. He's tired of answering the fucking questions when he's all got two other bands that put shit out like all the time. But all anybody wants to know about is Tool. So anyway, it's funny.
Well, if you listen to Pussifer, you know why everybody's still asking about Tool instead of Pussifer. So there is that.
Yeah. Pussifer has its fans. I don't get these people, but I cannot get into Pussifer. I don't get it. Whatever. And then A Perfect Circle, after seeing them in concert, it's just I'm sort of off. Yeah. Turn me off. Maynard is Maynard. I get it. And I've seen Tool like twice now. I don't think I'm ever gonna see Tool again. He's just like, I don't know what it is about not playing in the big. Maybe if we saw Tool in a much smaller venue, and I mean like Verizon Wireless or Revington Music Center, whatever they call it now, and we were like could get in a pit like close to the stage to be close to Maynard. But when I'm seeing Maynard from an eighth of a mile away,
behind a sitting curtain in silhouette,
right? But like I feel like if I was close to the curtain, maybe it would feel different.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work for me, dude. It doesn't work for me. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure he did the same thing for Tool. Didn't he spend a lot of time with Tool back behind a curtain, like we're watching him in silhouetted?
I don't even really remember because those were. I'll be honest with you, those are two of the worst concerts I've been to because I've seen A Perfect Circle twice because I hoped the second time would be better and I was misguided, and then I saw Tool once because I figured, well, that's got to be better, and it was, but still not great. But yeah, Perfect Circle, because the band is so lethargic. It's not just that he hides behind a curtain. It's that the other people in the band are just sort of like, you know, they don't dance, they don't move, they don't jump. They just stand there and they play their instruments and then they leave the stage at the end. It's just like they give you nothing besides the bare minimum that they played their instruments and sang their songs. And it's just like, seeing them at a large venue, especially the first time I saw them at Cynthia Woodland's Mitchell Pavilion in the summertime, sweating balls, smelling the stink of narcotic vape and blunts and getting eaten by mosquitoes. Never again. That was like the last concert I saw at the Woodlands because they specifically were the band that told me, that informed me that I would never want to do this again, and I never have. And that was like 15 years ago.
Yeah, well, and I told you, like I've not gone to Cynthia Woods in forever. I have passed on
Alice in Chains and Korn were in town not too long ago, and Paquita randomly is like, man, I really want to see Korn. I can tolerate Alice in Chains.
What
like,
the fuck?
I know.
She just said, I want to see Korn. Korn?
Yes. She just wanted to see Korn. She didn't care about Alice in Chains. She thought they were generic 90s grunge stuff. And I kept telling her, there's only one of these bands is the mature, sophisticated option. The other band is purely nostalgia. And she just wasn't having it. She was, but I also explained how horrible it was going to be, what a miserable experience it was going to be, the wrong time of year if we were going to do such a thing. And there's never a right time of year for the Woodlands anyway. But yeah, that pretty well nixed that.
I am a Korn fan. I'd say they have three or four legitimately good albums. That's more than a lot. That's more than Alice in Chains has. Okay, they've got four or five good albums. I'd say four good albums, maybe three and a half. But they've also been putting out music for 25 years now, pretty much nonstop. So you're gonna have your duds along the way, but you're also gonna eventually have that album where they just copy what they did their first couple albums and it turns out to be pretty good, right? So I could easily go to a Korn concert. I ain't going to Cynthia Woods to watch Korn. And I told you, I already saw Alice in Chains, and I'm glad I saw them. But it's not Alice in Chains,
right? True.
It's this weird pseudo Vortex cover band, and it's I hate to say it because the rest of the band is there really, but it's something's off.
Mm. Well, and that I didn't even make it that far because regardless of whether or not I could convince Paquita that she was vastly underrating Alice in Chains, I was so focused on that that it never even occurred to me that at some point we might actually have to man up and go see them. You know, it's like no, we're not ever going to make it that far because, well, for starters, I can rely on Paquita to totally not get it with Alice Chains, just make me sad inside and crush my soul a little bit.
I mean, I loved Jerry Cantrell, and I was basically watching him the whole show because that's like, oh, that, because he was like, he's co Alice in Chains. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like with Lane.
Not just Lane Staley, but Lane Staley's gone, so you've already got half band. So,
right. It's and there are some tracks he sings on his own. So he was able to sing those. I'm like, oh, okay, this is Alice in Chains. Well, this is freaking weird.
If Paul, George, and Ringo had gotten back together again to perform, it still wouldn't be the Beatles because John wouldn't be there. It's just that simple. It's all or nothing.
Right. So, like I said, I would go see Korn, and I wouldn't be so thrilled about seeing Alice in Chains again, but I would love to see Korn. I'm not going to Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion. I'm not going there. This is Houston, Texas, okay? It is 110 degrees at night with a heat index. I am not standing outside. And especially since if you don't get under the little pavilion part, you're sitting in grass. It rains here more than it rains in Seattle, Washington. Why would I sit in grass? And maybe they've made changes since I haven't been there in 12, 13 years, 15 years. Because I've heard they've made some changes. It ain't enough to get me there. I'm not doing it. No way.
Beck was there this weekend. Beck was there.
Cool. I would love to see Beck. Didn't I tell you I saw him coming? That it was going to be Cynthia Woods. It's a deal breaker. It will be suggested to me. Your custom concert lineup, and it'll show me all these guys. I'm like, oh, I'd love to see that. Cynthia Woods, cross it off. Oh, I'd like to see them. Cynthia Woods, cross it off.
Why do all these bands play there?
I think they must give really good incentives or something. I don't know. But because it seemed like a lot of these bands were starting to go down to Sugarland, to that new place, which is not my favorite either, where we saw Perfect Circle. And I ended up seeing Slayer there, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. There's just no pit area. And if I'm going to go see Slayer and Lamb of God, why is there not a pit? And the pit seats were ridiculously expensive because there were so few of them. Terrible. So not a great heavy metal venue, but it's a nice enough place that I could at least sit there and watch the show, and it was pretty good. It wasn't like I was still closer than I'd gone to see it at a concert, and at least it was indoors. So if Korn would have gone there, I probably would have gone. They're going to go Cynthia, but I'm not going to do it. But I passed on Stone Temple Pilots. And I think I made the joke when they came that I'm like, dude, Scott Weiland could die tomorrow. And I would be like, damn, I never got to see Stone Temple Pilots because I am not going to that venue. I would call my shot. He died a couple years later. Yeah. But I'm not going there. I'm not doing it. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of my time. It's a miserable experience, and it's going to cost me too much money, and it's going to take me an hour to get there. In fact, I think the last time I went there, I narrowly missed getting my car towed because there's no parking over there either, and they were towing everybody's cars all over the place. Which maybe this has changed too since then. Maybe they've built a parking garage or something. But I remember sitting there going like, man, I nearly got my car towed an hour and 15 minutes away from my house to see BuzzFest 24 or whatever the hell it was. And I'm like, this place. And I was like, I got soaking wet because it started raining during the concert and the grass got all wet. And I'm like, this is a terrible, terrible experience. And I don't want to do this again. And I haven't. So fuck that place. But I will say we need to go to to White Oak Music Hall. It's a really, really nice venue.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess you haven't gone to White Oak.
No,
yet, right?
I sure haven't. Well, I mean, it seems like our current venue of choice is House of Blues, which is an excellent venue, but it only can house so many, a certain caliber of act. You've been there when an act of too high of a caliber was there, and it was stressful.
Oh yeah, when I saw D'Antwoord there, that was weird. That was super weird. That's going to be a one song each. That was going to be one song each. But yeah, I saw Primus at White Oak. I saw a band called X Hoarder at White Oak. And it's a great little venue, dude. We got to find some band that we all agree on to go there, because it's pretty nice.
Yeah, Peter randomly started watching for bands. I think she wants to go to another concert, because I think part of it is that I've told her that I'm not going to see her favorite act again, at least until I see Toadies one more time, to make sure that her act is not going to be the act I see more often than anybody ever. You're not gonna, that's not gonna be on my tombstone, that's not gonna be on my final stat, that I saw your guys more than any of my guys, especially somebody I don't particularly enjoy to begin with. So I think she's been looking a little bit more at acts, but she should know I'm gonna have to make sure to educate her that we're not going to the Woodlands. It's just not going to happen. So hopefully somebody will come around. There's still a bunch of people I want to see. Like, we almost saw, we were going to see Garbage, and it's weird because I never would have been like, you know what, I really need to see Garbage, I'm really devoted, I need to see them. But for some reason, when I knew they were coming to town, it just reignited the affection I used to have for that band, because I heard them a lot, especially when I was working at the sex shop, because one of my coworkers was really into Garbage. She had embraced one of their songs in particular as like her song. And so I heard them a lot then. I heard them throughout the 90s, and it was like I just had this weird nostalgic affection for the band all over again. And I watched some video footage of Shirley Manson. I forgot how hot she was. And I was really looking forward to seeing her, and then we had something else come up and prevented us from going to see them. And it nagged at me for weeks that I wasn't going to get to see them, after for some reason building them up so much in my head. Not that I wouldn't thoroughly enjoy them, there's nothing wrong with Garbage, just that I didn't realize. It's sort of like the whole Depeche Mode thing, because I didn't realize how much I was into them until the opportunity presented itself to see them. It's like, wow, I really like this band, and it just wasn't a conscious thing I ever thought about. Apparently I still have a strong affection for Garbage that I didn't realize was there, even though I really only like first couple or three albums.
And where were they playing?
They were going to be at Verizon, or whatever it's called now.
Revington.
No, it wasn't. I think, was it that one? I think it was that one, yeah. It was definitely, it was a smaller venue for a band that was as big as they used to be, which is another reason why I really wanted to go, because it would have been a great view of a band I like. I get tired of going to, I just don't like going to the big venues. I just don't get pleasure out of it for the most part. So it still like bothers me. It's a bit of a missed opportunity there.
Now I'm curious where they played. Let me see. Tour dates 2019, Houston, Texas. Oh, House of Blues.
Yeah, that would have been great. Oh my God, that would have been great. Oh, man. Hopefully they come back around again at some point.
They probably will. It was a small venue. It seems to be like people come to these, if they come to this smaller venue once, they kind of keep coming, it seems.
Yeah. That seems like the kind of band that weren't, like, you don't hear about how they hate each other and they never want to tour again, all this kind of stuff. They're all kind of like a little bit older professional people when they all got together, and they enjoy doing it, and they make pretty good money when they do it, and I think they're just, happy to, and of course you got people like Butch Vig that are studio guys, and so that's like the one time they go out and actually get to be a band, and the rest of the time they're doing like production stuff. So I think they're the kind of band that would still be around and would still be willing to do this stuff in a few years, so I'm hoping.
Toadies are playing Sam Houston Race Park in October.
Oh, poor guys.
Well, I mean, I think they put on some pretty decent I think they've got more and more, but like, I'm not going. It's another outdoor venue. I've been to Sam Houston Race Park. It's super nice.
Yeah.
But if I got to stand like in the middle of the racetrack and watch a band, like, I don't think I want to do that. October is probably a nicer time of the year to do that.
I'm getting weird flashback to Sarah McLachlan's Building a Mystery. And I know I didn't see her. I've never seen her live. So they must have been playing it over the speakers. One time my father and stepmother took me to that racetrack. I don't know why. It was very random. And I watching the races, and I think they also had some, like, either a cover band or maybe they just were playing music over that. And it seemed like it was okay. But I usually, they get like, crunch reacts and stuff. So not typically my kind of music. But then again, the Toadies are such a Texas icon, especially Gen X, that I could see them playing there, and it kind of makes sense, actually. I mean,
maybe they're trying to set some record for playing literally every live venue in Houston, Texas.
Right.
Because we've seen them at over the Warehouse Live. Yep. We saw them at Verizon.
Did we ever see Toadies there, or did we see Burden Brothers at Warehouse Live? I think that was the case.
That was the last time we saw Toadies was at Warehouse Live.
I don't think so.
That was the concert, man. Where we're all standing there, and it was the fucking the Black Crowes guitarist was the opening act, and the dude was just like dead on stage, barely moving.
I don't recall.
That was the last concert the three of us went to. We have not gone to another concert since then.
Yes, we have. We've gone to several concerts since then. We saw Tool after that. We saw Perfect Circle after that. Nine Inch Nails after that.
No. This was like 2 years ago.
I don't think I went to that.
And you and Mr. Fix It were complaining about your feet hurting all fucking night. Dude, we were like almost in front of the stage.
I have no recollection of this.
Holy fucking shit. It was fantastic. They killed it that night.
I have no recollection.
Remember, I was yelling, I was yelling at the Black Crowes guy the whole night, I was yelling, play, what the fuck is that?
Hard
that
to Handle?
Black Crowes song.
Hard to Handle?
Hey, little thing.
Hey, baby, here I am. I'm the man on your scene. I can't give you what you want, but you got to come home with me. That one?
No, didn't they? They covered what's, hey, little thing, let me light your candle, because
I'm sure hard to handle now. Yes, I am. Same song.
So I kept yelling, handle now. Yes, sir. You don't remember this?
That's the same song. That actually sounds familiar. That part sounds familiar to me. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't remember. That was the last concert three of us went to, because fucking what's his name killed himself, so we never went to go see Soundgarden.
I wasn't going to go to Soundgarden.
Yeah, I know, even though I bought the ticket. That's why this whole talk is ridiculous, because I told you I'm not going to any more musical events with you.
Yeah.
That was what, 3 years ago?
It's been a few years now. I mean, I think that the Chester Bennington's anniversary of his suicide was, I think, 2 years ago, because it turned up on one of the social media platforms, like, really already? Because one of the people I worked with took that really hard, and it's like, wow, that seems like, okay, anyway, it didn't seem like it had been that long ago. And then I think that what's his name?
Found it. 2016 was when we went.
2016.
Toadies and Rich Robinson Band, September 23rd, 2016.
Chris Cornell, yeah. The point is, I think that Chris Cornell had killed himself like 6 months to a year before Bennington killed himself. So I knew ballpark that would have been about right.
Wait, you said six? You said 6 years or 6 months?
No, I think it was 6 months to a year after Chris Cornell killed himself. Chester Bennington killed himself, and Chester Bennington's anniversary is like a week ago or something.
So we saw the Toadies in September 2016 at Warehouse Live, because I found the date right here. Rich Robinson Band, who's the guitarist from the Black Crowes, opened for them September 23rd, 2016. So not that long ago. And then Chris Cornell killed himself in 2017 May.
Okay.
So that was going to be the next thing that we went to, which we didn't do. So that was not that long ago. That was the last deal we went to.
Have your allergies been killing you over the last week or so? That's where my voice is.
The
allergies.
Last 3 or 4 days have been brutal.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know they have those websites that track what's in the air. So I don't know if mold is in the air or pollen. I should probably like look at that whenever I have like a really bad day and start to track what it is that really fucks me up.
Yeah.
But Sunday, dude, I had straight up a headache. Like, I don't really get sinus headache.
Yeah.
Like, my eyes hurt. I can like push on my forehead, and I'm like, dude, what is going on? So I popped some Sudafed, and that helped.
I thought I was overdosing or caffeine or something, because multiple times over the last week I've had that sinus headache in the front of my brow, and I didn't realize it was that. When you mentioned it, it's like, oh, that's what it is. Okay.
Yeah. So it's that I don't know what's been going on the last few days, but it has not been good for me.
I don't usually take allergy medication, but I took some over the weekend, and I don't think it was doing a thing for me. So whatever it is just killing me, and nothing helps.
Yeah, I think like the sinus stuff will help. Like if you're having like an allergic to, I mean, an allergy medicine is if you're having like an allergic reaction.
Yeah.
If like there's literally like particulate in the air that is inflaming your sinuses, I don't think it does
filtration.
I think you need, I think you need to take like a Sudafed that will kill swelling and reduce pain and stuff like that.
Yeah,
because same thing here, but that's more of an anti-allergy kind of deal.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sudafed did it, but I should have taken more today, and I didn't, and I was kind of feeling it, so I'm gonna put some by my keys in the morning so I can take some.
Well, I'm hoping it's getting better, because like this morning I had the worst mood, the worst attitude, and the least lack of energy, and then toward the end of the day suddenly it felt like I got a second wind, and I didn't do anything, nothing changed, so except for maybe the environment, you know, it rained. I don't know if that contributed.
It can knock it out of the air when it rains, so like that's just floating, and the rain can kind of take it down, but it's supposed to kind of get better if it rains. Until everything starts blooming afterwards, and then it gets worse again. But yeah, man, yes, this weekend especially, and and so much so, like, I thought Saturday night, I was like, I think I'm getting sick. Yeah. Like, I felt like I was getting ill, which luckily turned out to not be the case, because I can't get sick. But yeah, I noticed I took the two Sudafed. I was like, man, this isn't doing anything. And then maybe like an hour and a half later, I'm like, oh shit, my headache's gone. And I kind of am not dragging anymore. So I knew that that's got to be it. It's got to be. And I've had blood in my sinuses too. That's usually when I know I'm getting a sinus infection. Right. It's whenever I like kind of like sniff in and the shit runs down into my throat. And when I spit it out, it's got blood in it.
Yeah.
That's when I'm like, oh, time to go to the doctor. And I've had some of that lately too. So I probably should just go to a doctor and get something so it kills it before it gets too bad. But whatever, man, it is what it is. This is life living out here. So
hopefully I'm not going to run into some weird exotic crap on the trip.
Yeah, I don't know. I hear people complaining about allergies up there too, but it's got to be different shit, right?
Yeah. Well, that's just it. It's different shit. So maybe it's something I'm not even prepared for. So I'm like, God, crap.
Yeah, okay. Maybe. Yeah, you're going to be like a fucking Native American being introduced to smallpox. Weird. And you said you leave Saturday?
Yep.
You guys are flying and getting a rental car?
Yep.
Okay, gotcha. Right on, man.
Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, and then start working our way through New England.
It'll be a blast. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be a blast or not.
It's a very very white part of the country.
Yeah, and I think if you're going to be in like New Hampshire and stuff, right, aren't you?
A little of that, yeah.
You're going to see, it's kind of a little bit like hillbilly-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Or a little, I mean, it's not quite hillbilly. It's kind of like hillbilly. There's like, you know, the way you picture some parts like Louisiana where it's so wooded and thick, you're like, you're not really sure what's going on in there.
Yeah.
There are parts of those states that are like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like where it's just like, it's not new. Everybody thinks that New England is New York.
Right.
Or some shit.
Right.
And it's like, no, like upstate New York is like Syracuse and Albany and Buffalo. Like those are not highly populated areas. There's a lot of strange, secluded people that live up there and endure 40 inches of snow in the winter. Like it's no big deal. Like there's some weird, weird areas up there.
Yeah. Well, it's like, we're going to try to hit as much of New England as we could. And I just basically said there's no way we're doing Vermont because it's just too damn big and there's nothing there. There's no body there, and there's just no reason to venture into any of this stuff. There's a few odds, like points of interest there, but it's like trying to cut through West Texas to check something out. It's like there's way too much Vermont. We don't need to deal with all this Vermont to get to this dumb bullshit. So we're actually mostly going to stay on the coast because that's where the people are, that's where the things are. There's all this woody shit that we're going to hopefully avoid.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you want to avoid it. I mean, you're not going to get carjacked or anything. It's
I was just like, there was a dude who, like, apparently there are parts around there where there's nothing to do and people will just sort of drive around, and then sometimes they'll get stuck up there and they don't have a signal, so they don't have like special emergency equipment, then they don't get found. It's like, fuck that noise. But also it's just like, we're already gonna have to drive through a lot of a desolate area to get out of Canada to get into the United States, and then a chunk of Maine's not a lot there either. So I think after we're done with that, it's like we're gonna kind of want to be doing stuff, you know. I don't want to spend large swaths of this just driving through woods, you know. That'd get boring pretty quickly.
Well, I don't know, whenever I picture that part of the country, I picture like bed and breakfasts and you're eating bagels and lox and, you know, lobster at night.
Oh, the lobster. Yeah, there'll be a lot of lobster.
Taking,
I want to put to the test your disdain for lobster. I want to see if perhaps they got a better...
It's not disdain. It's just for the price.
Yeah.
It's just kind of disappointing. I mean, I told you I want to. I mean, I've had lobster in Las Vegas. I've had lobster at really high-end steakhouses. I want to know, is everybody just fucking it up? And I have to go to Maine to get real, you know, lobster? Yeah. Is that just what it is?
I suspect it might be part of it.
Maryland's all about blue crab. I've had amazing crab all over the place.
Mm.
So how come people can get crab right, but is lobster bad, or is lobster maybe just not great? Just because it's expensive, people say, oh, lobster, because it's such an extravagant meal, but really it should. Almost like caviar, you know what I mean? Like it's almost like a forbidden thing because it's so expensive. So people will tell you how great it is, but really it sucks dick. Like, I don't know. But I want to know. And it's certainly not because I have some sort of aversion to shellfish. Dude, I don't eat oysters, but clams, mussels, scallops, although those are not technically shellfish, but you know what I mean? Like I'm down with this stuff. If it's in the freaking ocean, I'm down to eat it. I got no problems with that. I eat whole fish where it comes with bone in and you have to actually pull the bones out. It's freaking delicious. It's incredible. It's like I had a whole bone in fish at this place called Ocean Air in the Galleria, dude. It was the most incredible meal of seafood I have almost ever had, because when you cook the fish whole, the moisture doesn't get out and it doesn't get like, it's still flaky, but it's it's not like dry. Like it's got this wonderful, like moist taste to it. It's incredible. So I'm down to eat this shit. It's not that I hate lobster. I just like, I can't find good lobster, or at least at my standard of good lobster is. So yeah, I'd love to go up to Maine and go through my hometown, all that stuff. But like, I don't know. It's what's way down on the list.
I never remember. I always think you're from Massachusetts.
No,
I always think I'm that. I'm going to a comic convention there.
Cool.
Yeah. The whole thing is I'm supposed to be going to this Boston Con, but I actually don't like the Boston Con very much. And there's this really, really cool con in Connecticut. So we're going to make a beeline and catch at least the first day of that.
I heard Connecticut's a shithole.
Yeah. I've heard some bad shit about Connecticut.
Like,
yeah.
Like Hartford is supposed to be a shithole.
Yeah.
Like they're basically like slums of New York, basically. Like they're just people will kind of live there and commute to New York. But
we've been trying because I used Atlas Obscura to vet a bunch of the places we're going to go, because much of the planning for this trip has been me to give Paquita a break since she had to do so much planning on her previous trip. So I was going through trying to find points of interest and all that kind of stuff. And so one of the things we were doing to kind of give it a little extra vetting was we'd put on some YouTube videos and kind of get a sense of what the states. And there's actually a pretty cool YouTube series called Top 10 Reasons Not to Move to This State. And in multiple videos, the dude takes shots at Connecticut. And then you actually watch the video and it looks like a real shithole. You know, it really does look like the Louisiana of the North, you know, to some degree. One thing they kept talking about is it feels like there's some rich monopoly man who's doing his best to just run everybody out of the state and like tax everybody too much and not provide services and let everything go into disrepair and, you know, all this stuff. So yeah, it's both. And the con I'm going to, it's in like the Mohegan Sun Expo Center, which is a casino resort, and there's like nothing else around there, and it's like $250 to $300 a night. So it's like, that's one of the reasons why we're going to go by on a Friday and just be like, fuck you, Deuce, and then keep on going to another part of the state.
Yeah, man, it's weird. I really do have interest in going up to that part of the country one day, but it's just so far. Dude, I'd much rather go to like an island first, which is what we're going to do for our anniversary that was this year, but got foiled by my job turning to liquid shit. Yeah. So yeah, we'll do that. And like, I don't know if I want to take kids on a trip like that either. So yeah, I don't know. Because I don't think that sounds like a blast for kids. And maybe if they're older kids, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'd like to go to a lot of the old like fucking settlement shit too. So yeah. I'm down with that. I don't know. But.
Yeah. See, the thing is, like, I'm not really a big American history buff or anything, and neither is Paquita. So it's like all that, you want to do the Freedom Trail? Fuck no, I'm not doing the fucking Freedom Trail. I don't give a shit about any of that stuff. Paul Revere's right. I don't give a fuck. So we're like trying to find like haunted bridges and shit like that. Where did H.P. Lovecraft go to school, and where did Poe write his stuff, you know, that kind of rando bullshit. So much of this is kind of wasted on us. It's been kind of a struggle to just make sure that we've got stuff to keep us busy, because so much of it is this boring white bread stuff. Like, you can go kayaking, you can go do this, and it's like, we're not gonna do that. All the hiking, there's so much great hiking, we're not gonna fucking hike. Fuck you, give me a lobster roll, you know. So it's gonna be a weird trip.
Yeah, and I think kayaking and hiking off the coast where you can see a fucking, you probably wouldn't be off the coast, right? You'd probably be doing it in local streams and rivers. But I think doing shit like that, I think that shit sounds fucking cool as hell. And then going shucking oysters and trying like legit oysters, and maybe I would develop a taste for it and stuff. I think that shit kind of sounds fun.
I did a watch chowder a video. Guy. Yeah, I did watch a video that shows how to do a tail end lobster, how to do that. So I'm hoping to get the opportunity to try that, just to, you know, get it that way. And I'm going to try as many different variations of lobster as I can, just to, you know, get a sense of it, and whatever other random local, you know, delicacies they have.
Yeah, I think it's the lobster roll, the chowder, and Maine lobster. I don't really know.
It's like Halifax has its own signature dish, and you know, a lot of those places have their own little things that's like particular to them. There's apparently like Johnny's cakes, which are like cornmeal pancake things, and there's all this local flavor stuff you can try. So we're gonna try some of that stuff. They got a Cronar, I think is what it's called, is this thing that they have. Just random shit, whatever they've got in their area. Pour me a moxie and I'll try it out.
Cronar?
Something like that. I don't remember.
You mean a cronut?
No, I know. I was thinking cronuts too. It's something, I don't know. Donar, maybe? Maybe it's a donar.
It sounds like you've buzzfeeded this trip, and I think you're going to get really upset about it. But it's going to be entertaining for me. You fucking hate it. It's better stories. So I hope you fucking hate the shit out of it and come back and tell us all about it. You'd be like, Halifax? Oh, it was really nice. Great people. That's boring.
Donairs. It's like a Halifax gyro.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Let's see. It's shaved beef, onions, and tomatoes on a soft pita drenched in sweet garlicky sauce is the basic. It looks very tasty.
Halifax,
it looks like a mix of a gyro and a burrito.
Looks like a fucking euro. Bro, that's
yeah, it
a
looks
euro.
A lot like a euro, though, yeah.
I don't know why they don't just call it a euro, but they even carve it off the fucking euro thing. These motherfuckers. That's a euro. It's probably a euro without tzatziki sauce, which is fucking incredible. First to introduce donairs in Canada in 1973. All right, dude. These fucking white people. Goddamn appropriating fucking Greek culture. Well, enjoy your Canadian euro.
100% correct.
Man, that's fucking hilarious. I guess a donair is what it's called in Turkey or whatever. Yeah, it's fine. They can do what the fuck they want. I don't care. Do whatever they want.
So is it a Turkish euro? And they Halifax just adopted that?
I don't know. Like I know like there's that place Fadi's, the Mediterranean place in town, and they make a euro, but it's like it's the Mediterranean version of a euro, but they just call it a euro. Mm-hmm. Sucks dicks. It's none What's of it's as good it? As a fucking euro. Like, I just want a euro. Quit putting your yogurt sauce and your super bitter non sort of stuff. It's no good. It's no good. Stay in your lane, other Mediterranean region people. How dare you, Turkey? But yeah, anyway, that'd be fun. Trying food's good. That's a big part of those trips is finding weird foods and shit to eat. So hopefully that'll be cool. You can take her to a White Castle.
Yeah. Hey, we only got to do one White Castle so far between us ever. So that's reason enough. I have yet to do a Tim Hortons, so I think that's required.
Yeah, you can get a coffee from Tim Hortons.
I'm pretty sure it's built up too much.
Oh, for sure. Bucky's beats the shit out of Tim Hortons. Isn't Tim Hortons just like a gas station / restaurant?
Is it? Okay, I don't know. I'm going to find out. I'm going to need gas.
I think it is. I thought it was. What the fuck is Tim Hortons? Holy shit. Give me a fucking image search. Show me some Tim Hortons. Or maybe it's more like a Dunkin' Donuts or something.
I think it's more like a Dunkin' Donuts. That
yeah, it's more
right.
like a Dunkin'. They're these two kids that review cars. Kids, because they're probably like in their early 20s. And they're Canadian. And one of their tests they do whenever they test a car is the Tim Hortons test, where they get a small Tim Hortons cup and they put it in the cup holder. And if a little bit of it sticks out and you can still pull the cup up without yanking the top off, it passes the Tim Hortons cup test. Because a lot of these cars, like you put the Tim Hortons small cup in and it sinks so far down into the cup holder, you can't get it back out. So then it fails the Tim Horton cup test. So I just assumed it was sort of some fucking gas station kind of place, but more like a Dunkin's, it looks like. Well, all right, man. Enjoy your trip. So what's coming out this week on the podcast?
This
coming out podcast? Probably.
Well, look, I'd like to get Spawnometer. I really wanted to do that, but
I thought that you recorded with him and then left and you were like, oh, I'm going to go back the next day and get the shit that I left.
But yeah, but
I didn't even know you were still recording.
Yeah, I should probably just cut it. But maybe we'll get something used out of the donair conversation. I don't know. Maybe there's like a thirst for donair conversation that I'm not appreciating. As long as
there was a girl he really liked at the library.
Doesn't end up on the back of a tortoise shell, he's okay. He's coming out of this okay.
You know I'm rewatching Breaking Bad, right? You know this, right? Like, dude, I'm telling you, right? We just made it through season 3. Next time somebody says, hey, there's a trendy new show out, you guys got to watch it, I'm going to say, oh, okay, cool. I'm not going to watch it. I'm just going to rewatch Breaking Bad again.
Right.
This show is so fucking good, dude. And we hadn't watched it so long. I still remember like the general, like I know where the show will end at the end of each season, yeah. But some of the little details, because the show is so big on little details, yeah. Tying everything together, yeah. That I forgot about him, and I'm still finding myself surprised. I fucking love the show. I fucking love it. The show is so obsessed with itself. Whereas, like, you know, there was that show Ozark that I just bitch about all the fucking time, because yeah. Everybody who tells me how great Ozark was, and I'm like, this show fucking sucks. This is like I call it a dumb person's Breaking Bad. So much so that it's like it's about drug money laundering and a guy working for the cartel. Like it's got a lot of Breaking Bad themes. The guy's got problems with his wife. He's having problems with his kids. But it's like, it's just fucking dumb. Yeah. It's like a John Wick version of Breaking Bad, where it's all about shock value and deaths and stuff like that. And I'm just like, this is fucking terrible, dude. Because I watched, there's more character development in one season of Breaking Bad than there is in one episode of Breaking Bad, as there is in two seasons of that shitty show. So much so that we made it through halfway season 2 and we were just like, I don't want to watch this anymore. Yeah. It's fucking free. Or it's not even free. I pay for Netflix. Yeah. And we went out of our way to stop watching it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I... upset I was over
that's,
how shitty that
is. Jason Bateman and I love her too. Laura, I'm gonna Google it. Laura Linney.
Yeah.
So that's a weird couple anyway. You know, they're like too white for that show. You know, like too.
But I think that's the point.
I'm sure it is.
He's a hedge fund guy who it turns out is actually laundering money for the cartel. I get it. And he's having to do some really heinous shit. It's the same way. You know, with Wal- Walt was having to do, he was turning into a supervillain, and you're like, this old cancer riddled teacher is a straight up fucking supervillain. But Bryan Cranston is a way fucking better actor.
Yeah.
And these are way like, dude, like, I was just like, you realize how many spinoff shows they could make out of Breaking Bad? Because all of these characters are so good.
You know,
like,
and
Walt's great. Jesse's great. Saul is fucking, I'm like falling back in love with that character all over. I'm like, oh, this is why this guy spun off an entire fucking show. He's it, dude.
You don't watch that though, right?
Kills, huh?
You don't watch that though, right?
No. Well, yes. Yeah,
Better Call Saul? You do?
Yes.
Okay, so it did get, I heard that it got way better as it progressed.
It got way better.
Okay.
The first season is a fucking drag, dude. It is so shitty. It's like, somebody said, it's like, it's excellent TV, but it's not an entertaining television show. Okay. Like, they're literally dissecting, like, courtroom, like, lawyer speak. Like, they're actually reading Latin and shit. And it's like, this is not what I was wanting with Better Call Saul, because he's not Saul yet. But once you got past that and he kind of started to become Saul, you're like, okay, finally they can move this fucking show on. But yeah, the first season's real bad. It's so bad that it took us forever to start watching season two, and then season two was better, and then the last season was even better than that. But it's taken some time to get there, where Breaking Bad literally just had the first short season that took some time to get rolling, and then it's freaking balls to the wall for the other four seasons.
Yeah.
This one's taken some time, and it shouldn't take time, because we already know all the fucking characters, really.
Right.
Or, I mean, we know the main character already. They're introducing, like, his new cast of characters around him, but like Mike, that's another fucking character from Breaking Bad. Mike, yeah. Gus's hitman or whatever. Yeah. Fucking incredible character.
He's like,
Gus.
By the end of the series, he's like my favorite on the whole damn show, basically.
Hell yeah. And he's great in Better Call Saul. Gus Fring, incredible fucking character. Like, all these characters are so,
honestly, even like, I by the end of the series, I'd really turned on Walter White, and that's actually why I probably won't ever watch Breaking Bad again. It's because I hated how the series ended. I hated it. But one of the things that turned me was, I thought Gus Fring was such a cool character, and he was right. He was 100% right about Walter. He should have fucking killed Walter as soon as possible. And that his big mistake was giving any trust and respect and resources to Walter White. That's what destroyed him. But he was a great crime lord.
Walt forced him into keeping him. That Gail, his assistant, that he fucking has Jesse kill at the end of season three. Which, I remember he killed him, but I couldn't remember how that all went down.
Uh-huh.
And it was because Walt figured out that he was basically shadowing him to learn the formula so they could wipe Walt out. And he's like, the only way we can do it, we got to kill Gail. So I'm the only one who knows the fucking product. Because Gus has cut himself off from the cartel on purpose so that he can spread the blue meth out. So he needs Walt. Like, it's this, dude, I'm telling you, the show is so fucking good.
Yeah.
I forgot how many fucking layers and layers and layers. And usually, you know, there's that side story nobody cares about. And instead, they're just cutting away to his fucking wife, who I was like, oh, what? That's why we all started fucking hating this chick. And she was getting yelled at in public because she started sleeping around on her cancer-ridden husband with her ex-boss, who was a criminal himself, fucking cooking his own books. And then she's helping him cook the books. Like, all these storylines are fucking riveting,
dude. You've got that revisionist history, because the story that BuzzFeed's going to give you was that she was the one who was right. She was the one who was trying to stop him from doing all this horrible stuff. It wasn't Skylar's fault at all. And then you're just talking about it. It's like, oh yeah, she did do that. You know, I forgot how you know, before he got involved with all the cooking, their relationship was awful, you know, and mostly it seemed to be on her, you know? I mean, Walter was a wuss, but
when
I think she broke him. And so it's like, you know, as a feminist, I want to be able to go back and go, man, Skylar had a raw deal. It was ridiculous how she was treated. But then when you mention it, it gets me thinking back. It's like, yeah, she had some horrible fucking shit. And, you know, it's just something worse came her way afterwards. But
right now, it's when she has finally turned and been like, you know what? Like, let's just fucking embrace this shit. And she's the one who has the idea to buy the car wash because she's a bookkeeper. And, so she like grills Saul about, how do you plan on reporting these taxes? How the hell are you not going to get this whole family arrested? And she crushes Saul and convinces Walt to go buy the car wash instead, because the alibi makes sense because he worked there forever. And it's like, dude, this show is, they put thought into everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And I enjoy the shit out of it. And again, the side story is Jesse trying to get over his girlfriend who choked to death on her own vomit, and Walt watched her die. You know what I mean? Like, and then Walt afterwards goes to get a beer and sits at a bar next to her dad, and they talk about how he's about to have a daughter and how he's got a daughter. Like, dude, this show is fucking it's absurd, dude. It is absurd. And I forgot how crazy the show is. I feel like this show's kind of being forgotten a little bit. Everyone says, oh yeah, Breaking Bad's one of the best shows ever. Dude, this show, especially sitting through those last two seasons of shitbox Game of Thrones, like, cannot hold a candle. And I know the last half of season five disappointed some people, but the ride, the 4.5 seasons getting there, is so fucking good. I'll let the last, like, really really it was the last like two or so episodes that kind of sucked. But I'm looking forward to kind of seeing rewatching it again, because I've not watched any of this stuff since the first time around. So I was kind of curious how it was going to hold up, dude. It's like it's insane. I'd forgotten so much about this show. It's blowing me away. Hank, dude, his freaking DEA agent brother, dude, like it's fucking his storyline is incredible. You know what I mean? It's I don't know. This show is fucking great. And then Walter Jr. I remember he took so much shit like fucking Carl from The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. Dude, Walter Jr. is one of the only sane people in this show.
Yeah, I don't know why people were bagging on him. He was really good on that show and a good character too. Because you totally get it. He loves his dad and he's enthusiastic about some of the things that are happening. And then when he realizes where it's all coming from, he's like the first one who's like, this is wrong. You got to stop this. He was a good kid.
He set up the GoFundMe before GoFundMe was a thing. Like, I'm like, holy shit. Walter Jr. invented GoFundMe to pay somebody's medical bills. I'm like, this is basically our healthcare system now. People setting up GoFundMes for cancer treatment.
God, we don't want to think about this being a predictive show, but
no, but I'm like, holy shit, this is what people do now. Yeah. There's a website dedicated to this. Anyway, so shit like that. Like, and again, in Ozark, it's how do we launder money? Well, we just buy a business.
Like they did in Breaking Bad.
But that's as far as the explanation goes. Like it doesn't fucking make any sense. It's fucking stupid, dude. It's so fucking dumb.
I really is a shame because Laura Linney deserves better than that. Like Jason Bateman, if he wants to do a drama, that's probably the caliber of drama he can do. He's a comedy guy. That's what people really want to see him for. But Laura Linney can do some really great drama. Again, she's one of my favorite actresses, which is why her blinking her name is like so offensive to me, as you know, thinking about that. But to know that she's on this shitty fucking Netflix show is like, why is she? Why? That's bullshit. Well,
it's going to come back for a third season. People love the shit out of it. Yeah. I'm just telling you, I try to watch it. I'm like, this is for dumb fuck. This is for fucking dumb people. Yeah. Like this is like low brow shit. Man, I love the Ozarks and all that stuff. I'm like, it's not the family name. Like, but it's so weird, dude. I work with these like really, really intelligent people and they have the shittiest taste in television and movies. And I'm just like biting my tongue because I don't want to just start serving these clowns from loving just shit. Like, it fucking drives me crazy. It fucking drives me insane. And it's just this weird dichotomy that it's hard for me to handle sometimes.
But again, it's one of those things that throws you off. It's the whole Ben Carson thing. Ben Carson is brilliant brain surgeon, kind of an idiot and everything else, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing is, we're all kind of like that. And I think one of the problems, like with the three of us too, the three buddies talking, is that one of our things is art. We're into art stuff. We're into comics. We're into music. We're into shows, movies, TV shows, all that kind of stuff. And so we go for the higher caliber stuff because we've been exposed to more stuff. We're more critical about, you know, what we're being exposed to because it's sort of our thing. But again, I'm like, you asked me about a car thing. I'm a complete freaking moron. I'm the first one to admit, don't ask me a goddamn thing about sports. I don't know jack shit about that. But the people who, you know, they're guys, you know, who probably know all kinds of crazy shit about sports that they could go on and on about that blows you away. Same with cars and stuff. We all have our specialties. And the problem is with art, since everybody comes into contact with art in some fashion, you think that there should be some equality there and there should be some objective opinions that you can have. But if your main thing is this thing over here and your side is just this shitty song you want to listen to, or this dumb movie you want to watch, it's kind of hard to judge them on that because it's not their thing. They just like the thing they like and that's it.
Yeah, and that's fine. People can do that. But like when somebody, hey, have you watched The Ozark? And I'm like, yeah, we tried to watch it. We didn't really get into it. What? You didn't like Ozark? And I'm like, oh, we're going to have to talk about this, aren't we? Oh, I guess we can talk about it. You know what I mean? And then he'll be like, I don't watch those superhero movies. I don't get it. Give me John Wick. And I'm just like, okay, dude. Like, that's fine. That's your thing. That's cool. But then I have to, then, you know, I try to explain to him. I'm like, well, you know, because, you know, we don't have those action heroes anymore. The closest thing we have is like Keanu and maybe Vin Diesel or whatever. And I was like, well, you know, the superhero movies are like action movies were, you know, in the 80s. Like, that's what it is. Like, Tony Stark is your Terminator or you know what I mean? Or he's Rambo, you know what I mean? And I explained it to him like that. And he's like, yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense. But, man, it's not for me.
It's not as macho.
Okay.
It's
fine.
Not, you know, it's not like a warrior. He's not like a badass. I see the problem. But it's funny you bring up John Wick because, you know, I love Keanu Reeves. He's great. He seems like a really cool human being, a really cool guy. But me and Paquita, we watched some of The Matrix. And I'm sorry, you know, we watched like the last half hour or so of The Matrix. It's still fucking awesome. It still holds up. It's still a great fucking movie. But we also, for some reason, she made me watch Knock Knock, the movie he did with Eli Roth. And she just kept bringing it up over and over again. He's such a terrible actor. And I'm like, I can't dispute that. I'm watching the same movie you are. This is awful. He's terrible in this. And of course, I mean, the direction of the movie is incompetent. The other actors in the movie are incompetent. The whole premise, it's basically like somebody watched Hard Candy and decided, well, how would this play if the dude were sympathetic? You know, it's really fucked up. Terrible movie. But he is like exceptionally bad at it. He makes the worst choices. And of course, you never believe him in a single line delivery. He can't say, well, come in to dry off. And you don't believe it. It sounds like a guy ad-libbing lines the entire time. He's just the awful actor. And so he only works when you give him something like John Wick, where he has underplay everything and talk as little as possible. Because as cool of a guy he is, as nice he is just dreadful. And I guess In that respect, he definitely has that in common with most 80s action stars.
Well, I mean, but Point Break works because he's playing a surfer dude.
But again, that's part of the unintentional comedy too. I am an FBI agent. That's what we're all rolling about. We love it because it's camp. It's unintentional camp.
Yeah. And Nick Nolte and Patrick Swayze carry that movie. So.
Well, it's an awesome movie. The direction, Catherine Hardwick was, no, it wasn't Catherine Hardwick. It was, I can't remember anybody's names tonight. Catherine Bigelow is an exceptional action director. And it's a really well-directed movie. Great score, great cinematography, great supporting acting performances. But everybody's having to carry Keanu. But he's great. He's Johnny Utah 100%. It's a gasp because it's still, what if the ex-president or surfers? At the end, the whole premise of the movie is based in camp. And no matter how hard anybody else tries to sell it, a part of the joy of the movie is that it is unintentional camp. Maybe even intentional, because the premise is so ridiculous that you might as well lean into those goofier aspects. Just like we're supposed to believe Patrick Swayze as this hardened criminal and stuff. Like, come on, dude. Patrick Swayze, really? Okay.
Hey, man. Hey.
But again, it kind of works because that's why he's got Jody. He's like, man, I couldn't, like, the way he's holding a knife to her throat, man, I couldn't do that. That's why I have to have Jody. And it's like, yeah, Patrick Swayze, I believe you. You have to have a guy to do the crazy shit for you because you're just too sweet. You're just too soft. I get that. You just want to surf that perfect wave, man.
But so what was, let me see. I was going to make one other point and I've lost it. Well, then, of course, Bill and Ted works because he plays fucking Bill S. Esquire. Which it does, it looks like that might actually be a thing.
I think it's finally happening this time, yeah. I mean, yeah. They've cast people. I think they may even be filming at this point.
Bizarre. We live in a strange world. They need to do holographic George Carlin.
Well, the thing is, I mean, Bogus Journey is pretty cool, you know, don't get me wrong. But it's like, you could almost do a reverse to Jake because it's been decades since the last one. So this is like one of the longest gestating sequels of all time. And usually when that happens, the movie's just not often bad, but just like kind of lame. So I wonder, considering that the Bill and Ted movies are just kind of okay, really, when you visit them, a lot of the joy of that nostalgia, maybe this could actually be something pretty great. You know, I'm not trying to build it up or anything. It's probably going to suck, but it's got a shot because the originals aren't that good to begin with. So maybe it could be fucking awesome.
Speaking of sequels, did you watch the trailer for Zombieland 2?
Yeah, it looked okay.
I thought it looked like shit, dude. I thought it looked fucking terrible. And I was like, Zombieland 2, hell yeah, I love Zombieland. And I'm like, this is going to be fucking badass. And I watched the trailer and I'm like, this is like, it's just the same lines from Woody Harrelson over and over again, except he's in a different costume each time. And I'm like, this sucks.
Well, the tricky thing too is it's hard to believe in the zombie apocalypse that the same four people would just stay together for what has been like 9 years now, 12 years now.
Yeah, I was waiting for there to be the hook that convinced me that they're actually going to do something different in this movie, and I didn't see it. So I'll have to have somebody watch it and say, hey, that was actually pretty awesome, and then I'll go see it. Whereas before I was like, Zombieland 2, I'm gonna go see that shit in the theater, and I was like, I don't think so.
My suspicion is I might get drugged to that by Paquita, because that was a movie that I think we saw fairly early in our relationship. She's kind of an Emma Stone fan. She's definitely a Woody Harrelson fan. So I think I'm going to get pulled into that one regardless of my feelings, but I'm willing to check it out. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to see it, but I don't think it's going to be in a theater. It's just, like I said, neither of us. I mean, it was just like, okay, like this literally could have just been cutscenes from the first movie. I saw nothing really different here. It was just, I don't know.
The truth is I enjoyed the movie, but I've only seen it the one time. I've seen bits of it.
We've watched
cable.
It a couple times. Watched it. I've probably seen it 3 or 4 times. It's pretty good. But I've caught it in like the middle too.
Yeah.
And it's a good movie to just jump into and watch.
I don't watch it till the ending. I'll catch bits and pieces on cable, but I've not actually sat down and watched the whole thing from beginning to end since the Ackle.
Adam Black Moon, Alan Middleton, Dr. Ange, Canoes, Captain Kirk's Dildo, Chris of Bad Books for Beginners, Chris Dunford, Chris Lydon, Dave's Comic Heroes Blog, Dear Watchers, a Marvel What If podcast, Del Dracula, Doc Strange, Ed Moore, Gregory Litchfield, The Hammer Strikes, Geeky Stuff and Voiceover, History of Comics on Film, Iowa's Joe is Extremely 90s, It's Plastic Man, Jeffrey Brown, They Them, Jenna Reagan, Kerry Kemp, King Dinosaur, King Dinosaur, Longbox, there's a new umlaut, I should point out, Longbox of Darkness, Lucretia, Max Reads Comics, Mike's and Aliens to Me, stands for Patrick, I think, Photo Druid Dusseldorf, Randy Caldwell, Resurrections and Adam Warlock and Thanos Podcast, Rob Clipple, Samilla, Scott X, Star Wars 24/7 Info, Tim Price the Podcrasher, Oofta, oh, that's Fryhole, he's the last one.
All right, man. I'm going to head out.
Yeah, you got to work tomorrow, dude. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
I just was rolling with you as long as you were going to hang. I tend to stay up late anyway, but yeah, it's 12:45. So enjoy talking with you, though.
All right, man. I'll catch you. Hey, dude, enjoy your trip if I don't talk to you again.
Thank you. I'll talk to you later, man.
All right, man. Later.